Hey, you're listening to Naptown Investigations, a true crime podcast. What we're about to discuss is likely disturbing and contains mature content with the use of adult language and the occasional mom joke. Listener discretion is advised.
You can find us on Facebook or Instagram at Naptime Investigations or Twitter at NTI Pod. We're your hosts. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Amanda. We're just a couple of internet mom friends who like to talk about true crime and conspiracies when we can get our children to sleep.
Thanks for being our kind of person and joining us to talk about what normal people think isn't appropriate for small talk. I hate it here. One of my kids is growling.
Same.
So this is fun.
It's gonna be good.
All right, so let's get into it. So this case is about Ben McDaniel. So
I'm so excited about this case.
Do you know anything about this case?
No, but we kind of talked about it when we were deciding about cases and you decided to take it. Cause I was like, do you want to take it? You want me to take it? Cause I just know like the brief overview and I wanted to know more. So
I'm so excited. Okay.
Fill up kids. You should get excited.
You should, because this case is wild. So Ben was a 30-year-old man who seemingly had a really great life leading up to about 2008, which I think is in line with everybody else in 2008 also. In 2008, Ben and his wife got a divorce, which was super rough on him. The same year, he lost his construction business, leaving him about $50,000 in debt with the IRS. After all of this, he then also lost his younger brother at the age of 22, who was only 22, and he had a stroke. Ben had
That's terrifying.
At 22.
The poor guy. That's a lot to deal with.
And on top, like to top everything off, Ben had actually been the one to find his brother who was unconscious in the home. So, I mean, like, he's got everything against him. And I vaguely remember hearing somewhere that with him and his wife, Ben didn't want a divorce. He loved his wife. He wanted to stay with her, and she obviously did not feel the same way. So,
did Ben live with his brother? Is that why he found him, or did he just happen to be there and find him?
I think that they lived together.
That would make sense. Yeah,
for him to be the one to find him. Yeah, definitely. So, due to everything going on in his life, Ben ended up having to move back home with his parents in order to handle his affairs. At the time, he was living with them in Collierville, Tennessee. So, with everything going on with Ben and his emotional state, his financial state, his everything state, his parents actually suggested that he take a sabbatical. They told him that they would financially support him and his dog while they suggested that he go off and stay in their beach house in Santa Rosa, Florida. And I'm like, hell yes. Where do I get these parents? Do you want to adopt me?
I was just going to say, my parents would be like, she sucks, it sucks, my dude.
Straight up. Welcome to the world of adult. It sucks. That's really cool that they were able to do that, because I would I would say majority of people wouldn't be able to even have that opportunity. So
very kind of them, for sure.
Yeah. So obviously, like anybody would, he takes them up on this offer and ends up moving down to Santa Rosa, Florida about April of 2010. Once he moves, he starts taking up one of his oldest hobbies, which was scuba diving. Ben had actually been diving since he was around the age of 15. And he was actually he would actually go diving in the family pool. Like, he was that into it. It was wild.
Can you scuba dive in a pool?
I mean, I'm sure you could probably practice.
Yeah, I guess. I just don't imagine it being that deep.
Oh, definitely not. But I mean, for a 15-year-old,
sure. And I believe that when you practice and first start learning, you're in like more shallow water, shallower,
more shallow, comparatively. I'm
shallower.
Sure.
Yeah, more shallow. Shallower. I don't know what the
correct... I don't know. Well, I'm going to say shallower.
Okay. I would say more shallow. So
shallower waters.
You tell us, listener. Listener. Our one listener.
All one of you. Gang's all here. So while Ben was living in Florida, he obviously continued to hone his skills with this hobby. So, but he definitely preferred freshwater diving over like saltwater oceanic diving, whatever.
Oceanic?
Oceanic. That's the word I'm going with.
I would have said saltwater. Okay. All right.
Saltwater diving. Oceanic. That's what I'm going. I'm sure that that's a technical term. I'm
probably.
Sure. I'm sure.
You're clearly a diver.
I mean, I'm a pro. I would think I'm up there, honestly. I could train you all. But being that he preferred the freshwater diving, he frequently went to this diving spot called Vortex Springs. People actually come from all over the world to dive at Vortex Springs, mainly for the cave diving, which is like a subcategory of diving that apparently before this case, I had no idea that like people even did that, honestly. So it's wild.
I read this crazy book about, well, that was just a small part of the book, but they were cave diving and there was like an accident. So then I started like frantically looking up diving, and it was a crazy book. Good book.
What book was it?
It was called The Twilight Wife.
Oh. Cave diving is wild to me. Like diving in general is terrifying, but the fact that people are going into caves is a huge ass no for me.
Hell to the no, to the no, no,
no, no, no. Hell no. That's me. So, about 4 months after the move to Florida, he actually returned to Tennessee to visit his family and his girlfriend, Emily. They all stated that Ben seemed optimistic and that the sabbatical seemed to be really helping him, you know, like pull him out of the slump and get himself back. Ben was talking with Emily about possibly getting certified and potentially starting a diving business specializing in cave diving. So something to mention real quick about Ben and his diving experience, which he's gotten a lot of flack for from the diving community as a whole, is Ben was not certified. He was very open about the fact that he was self-taught, but he was not certified, which, I mean, does not mean that what happened deserved to happen or by any means, but it just goes to show that there is specific training that comes in with being certified.
Sure. And from my understanding, once again, not a diver, it can be very dangerous if you're not doing things correctly. Although he dove often and was practicing, it sounded like, for many, many years, at least 15, based on what we were just talking about. That does not mean he necessarily was practicing correctly. Like, even if you are trained and certified, you could not be practicing correctly. And going into caves is even more terrifying.
On top of everything else. Yeah. Well, and there's a specific, so like you can be certified as a diver in general, but when it comes to cave diving, it's like a whole separate certification that you have to have because of how dangerous it is.
Yeah. My understanding is that there's lots of subdivisions within it. Yep. Like how deep you go, what kind of waters you're in.
Certain equipment, stuff like that.
And the terrain you're in, cave diving or things like that. So that is very brave of him.
It's concerning. Yeah. For sure. So after he leaves to head back to Florida, he left a letter with his parents thanking them for allowing him to take this time and for taking care of him, that he would make sure to take care of them when they were older. And it wasn't like a, I love you, this is my last goodbye, blah, blah, blah type of letter. It wasn't anything like that. It was just like, I appreciate you and I'm going to go back to fixing me.
That's sweet. I never say that to my parents. I tell them I'm going to put them in homes.
Same. Y'all are going home. Sorry.
Yeah, I was like, yo, you better hope your son takes you because...
It ain't gonna be me.
And my mom's like, yeah, you'd be mean to me. I was like, heck yeah, I would be.
Absolutely.
You don't want to go here.
Not today, Satan.
A home would be better. They have regulations there.
A home that is not mine.
Specifically something with nursing in front of it probably would be best, but you know, just each their own, my dude.
Who knows? A home nonetheless. So when after he leaves, this would actually be the last time that they would ever see Ben again. On October 18th, Ben went up to the Vortex in the morning.
I just can't.
Oh.
These poor, poor parents. They already lost their other son due to a stroke. Do we know if they had other children?
No, I believe it was just the two of them. So both of your children die.
Not saying that, like, just losing one is not enough.
Oh, my God, right.
Losing all of your children.
Ooh. Right, right. And I'm like, yeah, I can't even imagine that. So, yeah, on August 18th, Ben went up to the vortex in the morning. He spent the day in and out of the spring, diving, taking notes, testing equipment, etc. The biggest piece, or of information, rather, of this vortex is that there's obviously a cave, but about 300 feet down is a gate and a sign with the fucking Grim Reaper on it saying things like, continue at your own risk, there's nothing down here worth diving for, blah, 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 blah. Like, so, like, there's a cave that people are diving in, but, like, there is a deeper part of the cave that you can go into, but you have to present your certification and have a gate, so the gate has a lock on it, so you have to have a key from the store or whatever that's on site.
Sure. I'm assuming you present your certification there and then they give you a key before you go down. Mm-hmm. So wait, did you say he did not have a key?
He did not have a key. So this is just kind of laying the foundation for what's down here. So you have to show the certification. And this was actually not super new, but newer, because in the 1990s, 13 people died trying to dive past this cave, which is why they ended up putting the gate up in the first place.
And the Grim Reaper, probably.
You know, who knows?
Terrifying.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And at some points in this cave, it narrows to about 10 inches, which requires divers to, like, take their tanks off and hold them in different positions to squeeze through.
I'm just saying, like, I'm chunky, I cannot fit through 10 inches of, like, walking space, probably.
There's no way in hell I would squeeze through in water.
Swimming with equipment on, and, like, I imagine you have, like, what are they called? Like, flippers? Fins?
Flippers.
Whatever the fuck they are. And then taking your tank off.
That's what I'm saying. There's no freaking way. There's
that
no
That does
way
not sound like a good time. That does not sound like a good time at all.
No. And honestly, based on, like, everything that I'm reading, my guess is that those people, those, like, 13 people or whatever, died in areas like this, because other divers had said that, like, divers can freak out and forget what way is up or what way is down, and, like, have a panic attack and actually, like, suffocate underwater. It's fucking insane. Yeah, it's a whole no for me. Whole ass no for me, dog. There's no fucking way.
Yo, I am down for some hood rat shit.
100%. But that's beyond hood rat shit.
No for me, dog. Hard.
Absolutely not.
No for me.
Absolutely not.
My heart's beating really fast. Just
I know, it makes me all itchy just thinking about it. Ugh. So,
and I'm a great swimmer. Like, I'm fine with water.
I'm not.
I've been swimming my whole life.
I won't go in the ocean. I won't go in bodies of water. I already have, like, if I can't see my feet, nope.
No, I'm straight chilling.
Literally gives me anxiety thinking about something, like, grabbing me from under the water and pulling me down.
No, I'm good with that. But that?
Oh.
No, thank you. No.
Yeah. So the Vortex Springs employees eventually came to know Ben pretty well, as he frequented the spot. One employee even said that he knows quite a bit, but he thinks he overestimates himself, which, being uncertified and doing this diving, kind of tells me that also. But according to Ben's father, he couldn't find anyone to be his diving partner, so he did a lot of his dives alone, which, on top of everything else, is super fucking dangerous. Like, you should not be diving alone. And again, because of this, Ben got a lot of backlash, but his parents backed him up, saying that he was brave and fearless and followed his passions, which I just don't know how diving in a cave is a passion, but, you know, to each their own. So that day, Ben had actually completed a few dives based on, like, witnesses.
So wait, I'm looking at this Vortex Springs place right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it looks fine. Like, it's whatever. It looks nice. But, like, the entrance, it looks like a fucking pond.
Well, it is. It's like a swimming hole, almost. Like, people will go and, like,
yeah,
go out there, but you can also go and dive.
I just want people to understand, like, how
it's like a park.
Small
like,
of an...
Like a community center. So it's not like a place in the middle of nowhere where like some people go. This is a very busy, a pretty busy place, like a natural community pool, if you will, with a big ass mm-hmm. cave.
Yeah. So I wanted it to be known that like if I were on one side and you were on the other, like it would be very obvious that we would see each other and stuff. Like it's a very small area. Pool size, like you said, almost like a very large pool-sized area. That obviously goes deep, but
and
you know,
it would make sense that there were witnesses that saw him doing these things, especially if they're lounging like a beach or whatever. Like I said, Ben had completed a few dives this day, but around 7:30 p.m. he actually went back in for the last time. As he was diving down, Eduardo Turan, I think he just goes by Ed, and Chuck Cronin, employees of the Vortex, were just coming back from a dive themselves when they saw Ben coming down. Apparently, Eduardo and Chuck would frequently go on, I think it was on Wednesday nights or whatever, would go just diving after their shift was over and then come back. So this wasn't out of the norm or whatever. Ed had said that he thought Ben might have been forcing the gate open himself and decided that he would just unlock it for him to make sure that he got in and out okay. And then Ed and Chuck left and Ben was never seen again.
Ooh, that's heavy for that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure he lost his job.
You know, and I'm not too sure, but my guess is probably. Because that's a huge liability for them. Huge. But maybe not. And I'll get into that in a second. Ben's truck would stay in the parking lot of the Springs. Too busy for anybody to notice. Because again, this isn't like a random place. This is a pretty busy community area. But his car stayed there for 2 days before Ed actually called the police. Upon police arrival at the Springs, Ben's tanks, wetsuits, and any other diving equipment he regularly used were not around, and there didn't appear to have been any type of struggle around his truck, being that his wallet was still in the truck with about like $700 in cash and his cell phone. Back at the beach house, they found Ben's dog, a chocolate lab, who was hungry, having not been fed in 2 days.
Oh, the poor baby.
I know.
He was probably covered in poop and hungry and dumbly.
So sad.
I mean, it's sad that Ben died, but that baby.
I don't know. So.
Okay. Sad about Ben, but that baby.
I know. And the biggest thing is that dog was like his life, according to everybody around him. The dog was his life. So he like, I just want to make it known that everybody around him says that he would not have just left his dog. Based on everyone's accounts and nobody having seen him come back up, they assumed that Ben just drowned somewhere in the cave trying to get out. Cadaver dogs were brought to the scene and even alerted to the water surface, which would support the theory that Ben had drowned. Professional search and rescue divers came from all over the country to help with what they thought would be a recovery operation for Ben's body. They began looking in even the smallest of areas within the cave, thinking that maybe he'd panicked due to tanks running low and maybe got disoriented and subsequently drowned. But even with all of the search efforts over the following weeks, no sign of Ben was ever found. And near the entrance of the cave, they said that they did find two of Ben's tanks, though. Investigators found this odd because generally... divers will leave their tanks along their route to follow them back and not at the entrance of a cave. So this placement was definitely odd. On August 22nd, veteran cave diver Ed Sorensen was called to assist with the search for Ben. Ed was described as being the diver that could and would go where other divers wouldn't or couldn't. That day, Ed made three separate dives into the cave, going about 200 feet further into the cave than Ben had mapped out, suggesting that he had gone there. Even with this, no sign of Ben was found anywhere. Ben was a big guy. So 6'1", 210 pounds, definitely bigger than Ed. And Ed said that there was no way that Ben would have made it through some of the more narrow parts, as Ed barely even made it through himself. Ultimately, Ed said that he doesn't believe Ben was in there, and there was no way any other diver would have been able to go through there without making a mark, and there was none. So, like, those narrow, more narrow areas, there should have been, like, dirt.
Like a scuff mark
or disturbed dirt. Whatever. Yeah, and there was nothing there. So they definitely did not believe that he was in there, or at least as far down anyways as they thought. A total of 16 divers spent 36 days straight searching for Ben, but they never came up with anything. After all of the searching, most divers began to question if he was even in the cave at all. Some speculated that maybe his body had been moved out of the cave somewhere else, or that he staged his own disappearance to start a new life. Some even theorized that the owner of the springs had something to do with Ben's disappearance in a couple different ways. So the owner, Lowell Kelly, had an employee at one point who owed him money, and Kelly took him out into an isolated area of the surrounding woods and attempted to beat him with a baseball bat until he paid them back. This employee did press assault and kidnapping charges against Kelly. So some think that Kelly may have found Ben's body after drowning and moved it somewhere. Or Ben and Kelly may have gotten into an altercation where Kelly killed Ben. Obviously, nothing can be proven. That's purely speculation. But those are some of the theories that are out there, which I definitely think are possible. But I also feel like the cadaver dogs would have picked up on something if he had been moved from the body of water, especially since they alerted to it. So I don't know.
So wait, the cadaver dogs alerted to water?
Yeah, they alerted to the surface of the water. Yeah. So I don't know.
I have a question. I don't think that you're going to know this, but I'm going to ask anyway. Do we know when the last death was prior to Ben's disappearance?
I don't.
Curious why those dogs, if there was other reasons the dogs could have been hitting. I know you said the 13 people died, but that was like a year.
Well, it was in the 1990s, and this was in 2010.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
My guess is probably not, but again, I'm not super sure. I think since they started putting the gate up and requiring the keys, I think that this was helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. So authorities even started to think some of these things and adjusted the search accordingly. They began to search the surrounding woods with cadaver dogs, helicopters, people, etc., but they didn't find anything. They even tested the water of the springs, and after 30 separate tests, there was no indication of the bacteria there was no indication of the presence of the bacteria that would show if there was a decomposing body in the water. So there was nothing in there. The McDaniels, his parents, put up a $10,000 reward for anyone who was, quote, brave enough to go deeper into the cave to find Ben. This did not sit well for the people in the diving community, as many had already risked their lives to go in there. But this also might encourage untrained divers to go in there and possibly die trying. They even increased the reward twice, regardless of this backlash. I totally understand what they're doing. Like, I get it. I get that they believe that their son is probably in there, but it wasn't good. They definitely got a lot of backlash for that.
I get that. 100%.
As a parent, absolutely.
I also get the backlash, though.
I get both sides, like, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
so in March of 2012, another diver died in the springs, but his body was recovered. It was suspected that he was trying to search for Ben for that reward money. After this, the McDaniels rescinded the reward money and were like, okay, we're not going to do this anymore. But yeah, so
I bet they feel horrible.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that they do. I'm sure that they do. Yeah, it's like they've got their hands tied, though. That sucks.
I'm glad that they don't have that reward money out there any longer. Or they took it back because that's virtually blood on their hands.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, but nobody's sure what that diver was doing, but it's definitely, I mean.
Sure.
It's suspected.
I mean, I hate that I say that. Like, obviously you can't.
Oh, no. But
that person had free will, but I would not be able to let that go.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But yeah, so to this day, no other signs of Ben have been found, and he is still a missing person.
What do you think happened?
Huh?
No. What? You can't understand me when I'm yawning and talking at the same time?
I cannot.
I thought we were best friends.
Well.
It's not me, it's you. We're done.
It's me. I know it. It's okay. I'll accept that.
What do you think happened?
I think that, personally, this is just speculation. Nothing is proven. All parties are innocent until proven guilty. I feel like they let him they unlocked the gate for him, knowing that he had been there all day and had been there frequently. Like, they knew, the employees knew him. I think that they let him in. Something happened to him and they left. And my guess is those employees came back the next day and Ben's stuff was still there. And I think that they went in and found him and moved him out of there. I think probably the owner had something to do with it because they didn't want a lawsuit against them. So that's my guess. Obviously, nobody knows what happens, but that's considering so many people went down there and tried to find Ben and there was nothing, not even any signs of him, just tells me that he's not in there. I don't think he's in there. What do you think?
I actually think the same.
I feel like that's the most logical reason. You know,
I think that the owner didn't want the stigma and the bad publicity, yeah. And he's clearly a shady character.
He can't be trusted.
That obviously, I'm sorry, shitty character is a shitty character. And I don't know. I think that that's probably the most plausible. He was tired. He was going somewhere where he shouldn't have gone. And with the employee that even let him in there, I think that all of that was just too many hits against the owner or the company or whatever. And I imagine they move the body. I think that the working dogs hit on the water for a reason. Yeah,
that would make the most sense to me, honestly.
And I mean, it's water. Bodies are gonna make their way somewhere, especially if not, all of those divers would have found him and his equipment, yeah. Anything of those sorts, other than his two tanks that were found.
Right.
Also, those were odd placements of the tanks, so I think that's also, I don't want to say staging, but odd.
Very odd. Very odd.
I guess is the word I want to use.
Yeah, I see where they could potentially think that maybe he staged his own disappearance, but I just don't feel like he wanted to disappear. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But yeah, so that's Ben. And I'm curious to know if there are theories out there that we missed or if somebody else has a different thought. But yeah, definitely let us know.
Yeah, that was a good case.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah, freaking give me like goosebumps thinking about it. I don't like it.
Thanks, Taylor. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Fun announcement, maybe. I don't know if you're ready for me to say it, but you can cut it out if you're not.
Say it.
We should have some merch coming. We will be launching our website relatively soon. And there will be options for merch on there, I think. At minimum, we will have shirts and sweatshirts. And hopefully some fun other things.
Stickers. Pop sockets. We're trying to get some stuff out there. So hopefully we'll have some stuff for you guys soon. And
yeah. For sure the clothing though.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
I would love some sweatpants.
I got you.
Maybe some sweatpants.
Who knows?
Or we could put our name on the ass. Like it's 2006.
Oh, I love that. Ready for our name on your ass?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Have a great day, y'all.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
We hope you join us every Monday for a weekly episode. And as an added bonus, we've deemed the first Sunday of every month a Serial Killer Sunday. So you can look forward to an extra long episode about our favorite serial killers once a month.
Go follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Naptime Investigations or Twitter at NTIPod. If you want us to cover one of your favorite cases, please send us your case suggestion to naptimeinvestigations@gmail.com or via the case suggestion link in our Instagram bio.
As always, we hope you enjoyed this episode and thanks for joining this party.
See ya.
Bye.